So I guess Sue got a little excited there with her language. Halfway, is that what you were trying to get across, dear? You know, I know Sue's talked about Weight Watchers, so have I. You know, the issue that both Sue and I have, or we have and we are seeking the Lord to get rid of it as part of this process, is really self-discipline and gluttony and all the other things that go along with that. It's that overwhelming urge to continuously go after and satisfy this flesh. That is not how we are to live. And, you know, sometimes you need tools to help you understand how that works. And I am pleased that we've been able to see some progress. And you learn some things. Lord can use anything to teach you if your eyes are open to see it. So I do want to talk a little bit today about a scripture we read this week. Let's see. It's John. Yes, here it is. So, for the longest time, it's been impressed upon me that really, it's all about perspective. If you are seeking the Lord and seeking to serve the Lord, you're going to see a circumstance in a situation, and you're going to see it, maybe it's a quote-unquote bad one, you're going to see that as an opportunity for God to work a miracle. If your heart is not to serve God and not to serve the Lord and to serve yourself, you're going to see those quote-unquote bad things as just another trial and tribulation, pain in the rear end. See how you can use a different word there, Sue? Pain in the rear end that, you know, God's just out to get you again. It all depends on your perspective. Where are you standing at the time of the event? And if you can learn to do just the verses that you read, Sue, well, some of my favorites of the whole Bible. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I mean, trust in the Lord. You know, you're looking at something and you really, maybe you want to answer back or justify yourself or you know, somebody has harmed you or wronged you and you want to make them pay. I know that that's something I struggle with. You know, trust the Lord. Just, you know what? Don't worry about it. In fact, if the two verses before that really address that. Don't worry about it. God, look, you just put your eyes on the Lord. You serve the Lord and don't worry about all that other stuff because God will handle it. But in order for you to believe God will handle it, what do you have to do? You got to trust him. And if there's anyone in our lives that is 1,000,000% trustworthy over everything else, it's Jesus Christ. You know, these things he's telling you to do, Sue, trust the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord, right? Commit your way unto him. To commit your way unto him is that, I mean, these are, it's funny, you see this in the Old Testament, but these are New Testament principles, right? I mean, these are the gospel in a sense because you're putting off the old man and putting on the new man through these. And in Colossians, it talks about set your affections on things which are above, not on things which are below. That is delight yourself in the Lord. You see, these are the same principles that Paul is telling us and through the New Testament is telling us. God is telling us through the entire New Testament about his goodness. He can be trusted. He can be relied upon, just put your faith and trust in him, and he will take care of it. I mean, what's it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Isn't that trust in the Lord and do good? I mean, isn't this, it's the same commandment with the same promise. Why? Because God doesn't ever stink and change. Never. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you can just rest and rely and trust on that. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what presence is around you that would want to tell you otherwise. That's a lie and God is true. Amen. That is a lie and God is true every single time. And the goodness of God, this is what Sister Gail was talking about. This is what Brother Phil was talking about. And continuously, you'll hear Brother Phil talking about the goodness of God, the grace and mercy of God. Why? Because he really, as much as he can, he really gets it. Because his life was one of total and utter chaos and disaster and everything possibly going the wrong direction. And God, let me tell you, he specializes in turning disasters into things that glorify him. It's an amazing thing to watch. You take the most screwed up, twisted, messed up situation and individuals involved in it, and if they turn their eyes to the Lord, he takes that monstrosity of mess and he grows roses out of cow manure. I mean, that is what he specializes in. It's amazing to watch him work. What's more amazing, though, and frustrating to me, and I'm sure to you at times, is to know that and yet see people not grab hold of it. And you can see it outside. You can look out and see it. But I want you today to look in and see it. I want you to look in and see in your heart how many places and spaces that you have yet to say, God, I surrender. But I want you to look inward and see where you haven't acknowledged and accepted God as the ruler of that circumstance or situation, and you failed to turn in and trust him. When I look at the goodness of God, this passage I'm going to read, I think, is a great example of the goodness of God and his mercy and his grace. All right, so we're going to go to John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a great assumption. Just, hey, you know, it's got to be, you know. Good people don't have that stuff happen to them, you know what I'm saying? Must have been something else. It's interesting Jesus' answer, though, right? He says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, look, God had a plan, didn't he? You know, you can trust that God has a plan. Did you know that? See, you can trust that he has a plan. And you can trust that his plan is only good for you. It's only to your good. It's only to your benefit. It's only to that. It's only good stuff. So verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. All right. I'm going to take this scripture for exactly what it's showing us. And if there's other cross references that deal with this thing, you guys, please help me to better understand it. But I'm going to look at this and just talk about the goodness of God from this one perspective. Do you see the guy asking for prayer? He didn't. Jesus, for the glory that the glory of God may be made manifest, did what? He stooped down, made the clay, put it on the man's eyes, and then told him to what? Go wash. Told him to go wash. And then went about his way. Jesus reached down and touched that man, ministered to him. Now, was this some prominent man? Some great individual in the community? Some ruler's son or ruler's nephew? No, this was just a beggar, blind beggar, blind from his youth. He was not some prominent rich man. He was just a blind beggar, and Jesus reached down and took care of that man's problem. At least made the pace, told him to go wash, right? And what'd the guy do? He did what he was told. What a miraculous thing. All right, let's put you in the situation. You're down there, can't see. Some guy you don't know, who knows if we know him, where I'm going by what happened here, and of course the rest of the story. He makes some mud with spit, throws it on your eyes, say, all right, now go wash off in this pool. Okay, I have to now. My eyes are dirty, I guess. We don't know what the guy was thinking other than he went and did what he was told, right? He did what he was told, which does show faith. And what happened? He was healed. He was healed. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had before seen him, that he was blind, said, is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Yeah, I'm the guy. Well, this is going to create all kinds of controversy now. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. Pretty simple, wasn't it? Very, very straightforward, simple, not complicated, not hard to understand. This is what happened. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh my goodness. He done stepped in it now. You know, it's amazing the religious and their traditions. And I say that with a caution. Be very careful of your traditions and those things that you think have to be a certain way for them to be godly, righteous, or holy. Because what hung up the Pharisees and all those rulers of the Jews is that Jesus did not fit their mold, did not fit their vision, did not fit their agenda. And yet he was the Son of God and the Savior of all mankind and saved and healed and delivered. And those righteous, those self-righteous were what? They were cut down. They were called their father, that they were called, they were of their father, the devil. Be very careful. Your judgments. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and I do see. Excuse me, I added a word, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Really? Wasn't I just talking about those traditions that they held as so important? They, you know, the thing is that they knew he was of God. I mean, Nicodemus comes to him, a ruler of the Jews. He was in the know with these guys. And he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God because no man can do the works you do lest God be with him. This, they knew exactly who he was. They knew exactly what he was. And they rejected it and refused to believe it. And refused to receive it and refused to humble themselves and repent. It didn't work out well for them. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Some of them seemed to get it. They say unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thy eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For what? For what? Preaching the good news? For healing a blind man? I mean, these guys had passed judgment on Jesus simply because he didn't want to play games. I mean, he didn't want to play their game, play by their rules. But God was simply showing his goodness, manifesting the glory of God to the world, to those that would see it, healing a man that was blind. It gets better. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Boy, this guy is a cool dude, this blind guy. What he comes up with next is pretty good. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing. Listen to what this guy says. That ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This guy, this blind beggar, got it. He got it. And those self-righteous religious, trying so desperately to protect their position and their place, didn't get it. Actually, I think they did get it. They just rejected. They refused to believe it, which is even worse. It's one thing if you don't understand. It's another thing if you really understand it and yet still reject it for your own pride and arrogance. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou now teach us? And they cast him out. You know, he's probably better off. Jesus comes to him now. He says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And this, and forgive me if I get emotional, but this comes right to the crux of the goodness of God. Jesus came to save what? Sinners. Came to save sinners. If you see yourself as a sinner and in need of a Savior, man, Jesus is right there. Right there. If you see yourself as good and not needing a Savior, you are far, far away. And we're going to even see that in the rest of this passage. But look at the goodness and mercy and generosity of God here. Look at what Jesus does. And it reminds me so much of the woman at the well. The last person on the planet he was supposed to be talking to. And yet, who does he reveal himself to plainly and clearly? Without any sort of parable or any sort of, you know, hidden agenda or message. Not that God had a hidden agenda, and that's what I'm saying, but just plain and clear, who does he reveal himself to? Her and this guy. This guy. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You see, as you read through the Gospels, especially near the end, and Jesus is going through his trials and up leading up to the crucifixion, the Pharisees and the rulers are saying, tell us plainly if thou be the Christ, and we'll believe, right? No, they won't. They won't. And he doesn't. He does not. He does not, never seeks to justify himself or prove himself, ever, ever. He just does and says those things that God the Father gives him to do. The Holy Spirit really gives him to do. This man that was blind from his birth, he lived his whole life blind. For that day, Jesus would come by and heal him on the Sabbath day that God might be glorified. And God was glorified. And this testimony is, yes, this happened a few thousand years ago, right? But this testimony today is still yet alive, testifying yet again of the goodness and glory and majesty of our Lord. To me, that's amazing. If that doesn't tell you and show you that you can trust God, I don't know what's going to. I just don't know what else you could have presented to you that would more clearly demonstrate the fact that you can trust Jesus. You can trust Him. I don't care what you're looking at. I don't care what you're feeling. I don't care what you're going through. The only way through it, the only way to conquer it, the only way to overcome it is by Jesus, period. There is no other way. There's no other way. And you can absolutely trust Him. Let's keep going here. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, "Are we blind also?" Interesting comment, yeah? Are you calling us blind? Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin," what? "Remaineth." I find this story amazing. I find this story just an amazing representation of how good God is. And this isn't the only one, goodness. The Bible is full, just chocked full of examples of just how good God is. From the very first story, the very first passage to the very end, it is full of the goodness of God. And it is full of the demonstration of just how thoroughly trustworthy God is. So you find yourself worrying about things. That's a red flag. You're not trusting God. You find yourself bound up and stressed over whatever it is. That should be a sign that you need to spend some time with the Lord and just get rid of that stuff. You can trust Him. You can so trust Him. Trust the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way unto Him. It's the walk of a Christian. It is the walk of being a Christian. And you'll learn. I mean, Brother Steve talked, I forgot when. We were in Romans 5 about tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. That not ashamed means not disappointed. You can trust God. All these things you go through, you know what? You learn to trust Him. 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 You learn to reject the doubt. You learn to reject the unbelief. You learn to put off those things that would tell you anything other than Jesus is trustworthy and that Jesus loves you and that He has nothing but good things for you. If you can turn your eyes on Jesus. You know, we sing that song, turn your, and I might have enough time to sing it this morning. You turn your eyes on Jesus, and the things of this earth really will grow strangely dim because they're not important anymore. They become less and less and less important as your focus on Jesus becomes clearer and clearer. The things of the world become dimmer and dimmer. And they just don't matter to you anymore. They just don't. You can trust God. You absolutely trust God.